So the theme for this month is creation, and that's something that covers an awful lot of territory. As Matthew Fox writes in his book, Creation Spirituality, creation is all things and us. It is us in relationship with all things. All our relations, the Lakota people, pray whenever they smoke the sacred pipe or enter or leave the sweat lodge. All our relations implies all beings, all things, the ones we see and the ones we do not. So our opening music this morning was Joyce Poley's song Gaia. Now the concept of Gaia was developed in the 1970s by James Lovelock and Lynn Margulis, naming the idea after the primordial goddess who personified the earth in Greek mythology. The idea is that earth is a self-regulating complex system seeking a physical and chemical environment optimal for contemporary life. And even earlier than that, Teilhard de Chardin in The Phenomenon of Man describes humankind as evolution becoming conscious of itself. And he postulates the emergence of a thinking layer that envelops the earth, calling the new membrane the noosphere. The noosphere is the collective consciousness of humanity, the networks of thought and emotion in which all are immersed. So both Gaia and the noosphere, whether considered scientifically or metaphorically, certainly relate to our seventh principle, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Now, when I started to look at this theme, my thoughts first went to the creation of the universe, from creation stories such as Genesis on to the Big Bang theory. And this led to quantum theory and physicist Neil Turok's suggestion that the implication is that there was no beginning of time, nor will there be an end. The universe is eternal into the past and into the future. And that idea resonates with the Buddhist concept of the principle of dependent origination, which also leads to an infinite universe. However, that's a whole area of exploration that will require much more time than we have today. And after that, my thinking moved on to the idea of creation at the individual level and personal acts of creativity. From the perspective of Alfred North Whitehead's process theology and from Buddhist thought, actually every moment in our life is an act of creation. Now, that's another whole area of exploration that would require a different service, I think. And both of these areas of exploration tie in with Fox's creation is all space, all time, all things, past, present, and future. And he went on, among these three ways of conceptualizing time, creation leads most in the direction of the present, for the most significant of the times is the now, the eternal now. By the choices we make now about what we birth, the past presses into the future. And whether the future presents us with still more beauty or still more pain depends upon our choices as we respond to our role as co-creators in an ever-unfolding creation. Now, the past few months of the pandemic have helped to narrow my focus into the now, and specifically to the small backyard of our urban home, a microcosm of creation. A cedar tree, lilac bushes, Virginia creepers, flowers, raspberry bushes, squirrels, chipmunks, blue jays, grackles, sparrows, butterflies, bees, and even just the other day, a hummingbird, all present a lush version of the beauty of creation. At the back of the yard, just inside our neighbor's property, a stand of six giant white spruce trees had offered shelter and enclosure for the past 24 years. On August the 5th, arborists arrived and the trees came down. We certainly felt the pain and grieved the loss, even while we understand that impermanence is in the nature of reality. Now, the cutting down of the trees led me to moving from this small event to consider what we as humans are doing across the planet. As co-creators, are we moving to a future of still more beauty or still more pain? So let's look at where we are right now in the midst of this creation. Joyce Pauly's song talks about our living, breathing earth. And she says that much of creation standing right on the brink, one air to breathe and one water to drink. The crisis of climate change combines with political instability and chaos in much of the world, while a pandemic adds to the mix. Human development has led to the climate change with global warming, increasingly erratic weather systems with storms, droughts, floods, fires, and so on. And human greed has led to increasing economic inequality, with the 1% controlling the 99%. And meanwhile, people are divided against each other instead of working together to build a better future. The COVID pandemic can be seen as only the current face of Gaia's attempt to clean up the mess humans are making. I mean, it was amazing to see the reduction of pollution in the early months as countries were locked down. So all of this certainly makes it easier to dwell on thoughts of despair about the state of creation of our world, of Gaia. But at the same time, people are engaged in acts of creation, adapting to a new reality. We can see the coming together of people in the Black Lives Matter movement, or in the work that people are doing around truth and reconciliation. We're seeing more calls for a reform of the economy. The CUC, for example, has issued a call for a guaranteed livable income. And there's certainly been a lot of pressure in this country around that. So we're seeing very different responses in different countries. Now, over the past few services that I've done, the concept of balance or tension between opposing ideas or forces has kept coming up. And I think this is certainly true at this time in the evolution of creation. I think we're at a time when we need to be able to hold conflicting ideas in balance between despair and hope, between anger and love, between despair and optimism. Well, we understand the difficult state as the world slides into entropy and chaos. We need to understand that we are a part of creation, and it's up to us to help create the positive energy to combat the entropy that's going on. Now, Matthew Fox has described a way of looking at these tensions in his concept of creation spirituality, which he includes in four paths: the positive, negative, creative, and transformative paths. In the positive path, he writes, is the awe, wonder, and mystery of nature and of all beings. The negative path is darkness and nothingness, silence and emptying, letting go and letting be, pain and suffering. But he goes on from there to the creative path. In our generativity, we co-create. In our imaginative output, we trust our images enough to birth them and ride them into existence. And the final path is the transformative path. In the relief of suffering, in the combating of injustice, in the struggle for homeostasis, for balance in society and history, and in the celebration that happens when persons struggling for justice and trying to live in mutuality come together to praise and give thanks for the gift of being and being together. Now, Fox talks about all this in terms of God and his relationship, but I think these paths are just as relevant without any reference to God at all. So, while at times like these, the negative path can seem dominant, we also have the positive path to hold us in balance. And then the creative path can propel us forward, leading to transformation. And Fox again, creation then, at its core, is about relation. It is the spiraling, dancing, crouching, springing, leaping, surprising act of relatedness, of communing, of responding, of letting go, of being. And being is about relation. Joyce Pauley offered this us the hope that if we learn to the dance, we can live in harmony. And at the same time, the Dalai Lama tells us, because we all share this small planet Earth, we have to live to learn in harmony and peace with each other and with nature. That is not just a dream, but a necessity. Matthew Fox again, creation is, in many respects, what our species makes of it here on Earth. It was just a few days ago that I ran across a statement from Howard Zinn, who's a kind of progressive historian and activist. And I'm going to quote his statement. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we only see the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presence. And to live now, as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. And again, a quote from Joanna Macy, who writes, "Each of us can be the catalyst or tipping point by which new forms of behavior spread. There are as many different ways of being responsive as there are different gifts we possess. May our respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part honor the earth. May our respect deepen into something so profound that the earth becomes sacred to us. May this deep respect transform our actions so that our very living becomes a touch that caresses the earth." I want to end with a return to our backyard. Now, we had the option of bemoaning the loss of trees and dwelling on the negative path. Instead, we continue to enjoy all the rest of our little patch of creation. And moving on to the creative path, we talk about creating a new balance in the yard, possibly with a row of cedar trees to create a new back fence line. And to reprise, well, once again, Matthew Fox's words, "Whether the future presents itself as still more beauty or as still more pain depends upon our choices as we respond to our role as co-creators in an ever unfolding creation. And may it be so.